Going to the book of Hebrews. We're going to continue there. It's good to look out and see you. When we get started at 10 o'clock, half of you aren't here. So it's good to look out and see the other half now. So God bless you. Let me mention a few things before I get into my message today. On the back table there, as you go out, it's the one with the Dropbox there, our proposed budgets for 2025. And so these are available for you as a church member to take and to know how we are investing in the kingdom of God this next year for 2025. This is always good information to have. It helps you to know how you are a part of God's kingdom work here at Robertsville. So be sure to take one of those and pray over it and also pray about the part that the Lord will have for you to play in that this next year. Let me also mention that one of our church members, Ann Puckett, is sending out some cards to our church members, some encouragement cards, and some birthday cards that are going to be being sent out. And so the way that we want to do this, and they're on the back table on this side, there is a blank half sheet of paper that is taped down to the table, so don't take it off. Leave it there. But what I'm asking you to do is just simply sign it. Just put your name on there. And with each card that goes out, that piece of paper, it'll be copied and folded over just like we do our prayer cross. But it will go out to people in our church family to let them know that we're all wishing each other a happy birthday. So be sure to do that and put your name down and sign that so that Ann can carry out that ministry of hers. Let me also mention this afternoon at 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we'll be gathered with the Smith family as we remember and honor Debbie Smith, her life and the place that she had here in our church family. So we'll be here at 2 o'clock and a time just to gather and greet the family, Bill and Cheyenne and Spencer and Kyle and Hunter and the whole family. And then at 4 o'clock, we'll have a service together here. And so I want to invite our church family to come and be a part of that as you're able to, and show our love and care for you, Bill, and Cheyenne, and the rest of the family. God bless both of you. I'm glad you're here today. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. Now, I've already kind of laid the groundwork that Hebrews acts as a bridge. It bridges the Old Testament and the New Testament. It doesn't mean that when we walk over that bridge, that we're done with the Old Testament. There's much profitable for God to speak to us, for God to reveal himself to us through all of Scripture, including the Old Testament. But there's something about how we relate to God that gets us from an old way to a new way. And Jesus is a part of that movement as he gives us a new way of being in relationship with God. And so we're going to continue to talk about that today. My title is this: Doing Your Will. Not doing your will or my will, but doing his will. That's the better way. Amen. The law, that is the Old Testament law, is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Verse 5, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said," that is Jesus, "then Jesus said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll," or in that old ancient scroll, "I have come to do your will, my God." First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them." though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then Jesus said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, by God's will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Praise be to God for Jesus Christ, who lived out the will of God perfectly and completely and made sacrifice for you and for me once for all. Praise be to God. In 1948, work began on a monument in the Black Hills of South Dakota that would honor the Sioux hero named Crazy Horse. Now today, if you were to visit that site, the site would be called Thunder Mountain. Well, I love that. Thunder Mountain. What you won't see, well, let me say this. You'll see, if you visit there, the face of Crazy Horse carved out of the peak of that mountain. What you won't see is the rest of it, because it hasn't been done yet. The original design was to include Chief Crazy Horse's torso and an arm pointing out toward the sky. And you guessed it, the Crazy Horse. That was the design. The sculptor began chiseling it out of the mountainside in 1948. And to this day, it still stands incomplete. All you have is the face of Crazy Horse. They say that it's supposed to be finished one day. And I think the projected completion date is 2037. Who knows? A creator chiseling his will out of the rock. Sometimes it seems like God has that same experience with you and me, with the same kind of endeavor. The creator of you and me chiseling his holy will, as it were, out of stone. God works over time with us. When God starts working in our lives, it's not something that happens totally, completely, at one time, one moment in life, and then the rest of our lives are perfect. But God works with us over time, chiseling away the hard parts of us. And those hard parts of us are hardened. They're there for a reason. They're hardened by the realities that we've lived with. You can't walk a mile in another person's shoes. Your experiences are your own. And the hard places of you are there most of the time for good reasons. The reality that we live with, the realities of a broken and fallen and sinful world, the realities of our own sin that we just sometimes can't seem to break away from, that cripple us. But then it's not just our sin, it's also the sins of others that can damage us. And God chisels away. And why do you think God cares about you? Why do you think he keeps chiseling away? Because he is seeking to bring to the forefront, the beauty and majesty, not of you, although you're beautiful and majestic, but the beauty and majesty of his will in you. To bring that to the forefront in your life and in my life. You see, God has a will for you and for me. And we can either remain hardened and even dare God to try to work on me. It's a lost cause, God. But chisel away. When I was preparing for vocational ministry in both college and seminary, one of the big questions I sought to answer was this: what is God's will for my life? Now, I probably had heard that as a teenager growing up in church. Began to hear that from my youth pastors who would oftentimes talk about God's will. And it continued in college and seminary. It was a question that stuck with me. What is God's will for my life? If I could know it, then I would make a go of it. So knowing God's will, being able to discern it, became kind of a task for me. Now, knowing and doing God's will is a really big question, and I'm not going to try to address it in a 25-minute sermon. It's just that I think that we can go through a lot of life without considering what God wants from us. It's like I've been saved, I've taken care of that moment of decision, I've invited Christ to come into my life, I've been baptized, I'm a part of a church. What more do you want? And so living with that awareness that God wants something of me is something that sometimes I think we go through a lot of life without really considering. Well, let's be honest. Some think that God wants of us, He wants to control us. He wants my obedience. He wants my money. He doesn't want me to have fun and to enjoy life. God wants to punish me. Or the other extreme, God doesn't want anything from me at all. God doesn't care about me. He doesn't see me. He doesn't have any concern. He ignores me. It would be fine if I did not exist. I'm of little worth to God. Some of us think that that's what God wants or doesn't want of us. And part of us, or all of us, when we think about what God wants of us and we think about it that way, begins to harden. God, I don't want you to have control of my life. God, if you think I'm not worth anything, well, forget it. I'll go my own way. And we get hard, hard, hard. But God is not like that. And His will is different than that. God does not seek control. God is a creator. He is the creator. And His creating work is not just to get the project started and let someone else complete it, like Crazy Horse. The Bible says that He, that's God, who began a good work in you, that's you and me, will see it to completion. God has begun a good work in us, folks, and He intends on seeing it to completion. And He will continue to chisel and chisel away until the beautiful and majestic work is complete. The question is, are we going to let Him? Because unlike a rock mountain in the Black Hills of South Dakota, we get to choose. You and me, we are the sculpture that God began. And He will continue working, chiseling away at the hard parts until the work is complete. That chiseling work is God bringing about His will. Let me repeat that. That chiseling away at the hard parts is God working to bring about His will in us. God's will is this. If you kind of want Brian's brief definition, God's will is this. It's his design. It's his desire. It's his intention. It's what he intends to do. And it's based upon his character, who he is. God's will is based on who God is. And who God is laid out right in front of us in the scriptures. The will of God was important to Jesus. And he prayed for it when he was suffering there in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was put to death. And Jesus prays this to the Father. He says, "Not my will, but your will be done." He was facing death. He was facing imprisonment, torture, and death. And that was his prayer. Do you think that God's will was important to Jesus? No. It wasn't important. It was everything. Everything. Jesus prayed for God's will in the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. He said this, "Your kingdom come, God, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He prayed it, and he taught others how to pray it, praying for God's will to be done. Paul describes it in Romans 12:2 when he talks about God's will as being good and perfect, not controlling of my life, not a God who made me and then turned away because he doesn't care about me anymore. No, it's God's good and perfect will for you and for me. That's what it is. That's what God's will is. I want to encourage us today to seek, listen, to seek to know God's will. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't let things, listen, don't let things distract you. To Jesus, it was everything. And for us, it is as well. I want to encourage you to seek to know the will of God for your lives. Know his design. Seek to know it. Ask him for it. What is your design? What is your plan, Lord, for me? Seek to know his desire. God, what do you desire in me, for me? I desire other things, and I've gone after other things, and other things have crippled me. God, it is no more important to me what I want because I can bring damage to my life. God, I am now turning to you, and I am seeking your will for my life. It is everything to me now. And then give ourselves, our full selves, not just to knowing it, but to living out God's will day by day. Remember, God's will is not his effort to control you, and it is not his design to ignore you. So what is it? Well, there are two verses I want to point out from our passage today, and it's verse 7 and verse 10. And I want to just talk about these for a couple of minutes, because I think it helps us to understand what God's will might be for us. If it's not control, and if it's not ignored, then what is it? Verse 7, let me read it again. It says, "I," that's Jesus, "said." So Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is quoting Jesus in a way. "Here I am." These are the words of Jesus. "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll." And a way to think about the word scroll there, think about it as the Old Testament. "It is written about me there in that ancient book. I have come to do your will, my God." That's what's written about Jesus. And Jesus claims it. He says, "This was written about me. This is essential to me." And that is to do the will of my Heavenly Father who sent me. There's a sense in which we begin to take Jesus seriously. Listen to me. There's a sense in which we begin to take Jesus seriously when we come to grips with what God wants for me. And until I come to that place where I am gripped by what God wants for me, Jesus is just a convenience. Jesus is just a commodity. We show up here on Sundays just to get a little Jesus. And then we go on about our lives. I want to tell you something. God has a design and a desire for you. And His design is for that to grip us. And that if we're going to take following Jesus seriously, God's will is going to have to grip us. Anything less than that, I'll let you describe it. To me, I describe it as convenience, commodity. It just cheapens and lessens the whole thing. Jesus says, I've come to do your will, my God. God wants us, listen, God wants us to want His will, to want to do His will. He doesn't want to control us. He wants us to trust His will. And so I ask you this morning, can you say with Jesus, God, I want to do your will? I've been following my own path long enough to know that I've kind of royally messed things up. And I'm setting aside my will, and I'm wanting to do your will. Can you say that today in your heart? Let's move on to verse 10. It says this, by that will, and that's talking about by God's will, we have been made holy. Now, let me stop right there. Did you hear that? We have been made holy. By God's will, we have been made holy. I thought the Bible said God is holy. But it says that God is up to something here. And that in Jesus Christ, God is doing something here. And He's showing us something here. By God's will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, the whole thing, by all of Jesus, God is doing something once for all. He is working His will out in people to make us holy, not us becoming holy. Don't make a mistake about that. It's not about us getting our lives right and us living holy. No, it's about us recognizing that God's will is worked out in us through Jesus Christ that makes us holy. You got to catch it. You got to catch that distinct truth. Or else what it will end up as being is you working out your holiness the rest of your life, trying to be holy, 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 holy. And you can't do it. We weren't made to. God, in Jesus Christ, makes us that way. That is His will. It is not what God wants from us as much as it is what God wants for us. That is God's will. And so today, if you're resisting God's will because you think He wants something from you that either you're not willing to give Him or you're not ready to give Him or you can't give Him, let me tell you, God's will is not about what He wants from you. It's about what He wants for you. It's just a change of direction. Amen. The right question to ask might be, what does God want? Not what does God want from me, but rather what does God want for me? And the truth is that what God wants for you is holiness. Holiness. You say, oh, come on, preacher. I can't do that. I don't even want to do that. I don't want to be holy. I got things I want to do today and this week. I got plans for next Friday night. I don't want to be holy. The truth is that what God wants for you and for me is a life set apart. There are some wrecked lives in this world. That's what the world does. That's why the Lord says, don't be of the world. You're in the world, but don't be of the world, because the world will wreck you. It will wreck you. It will destroy you. It will tear down a good thing in a moment. It'll ruin a reputation in a moment. The world is harsh, and it will destroy you. And what I want for you, God says, is a life set apart from that. I want you to have a life set apart unto me, not because I want to control you, but because I want to bless you. I want you to have a life set apart from me. I want you to have a life that has been made whole. The world will not make you whole. It will destroy, it will tear you apart. I want you to have a holy life. It's my will for you, because my will is for you to have a whole life. My will for you is to have a healed life. My will for you, my child, is to have a valued life. My desire for you, child, is for you to feel treasured by me. A treasured life. My will is for you to have an edified life, and a life that is built up, not torn down. That is God's will for you. God's will for us is for us to experience and have a saved life. And I guess ultimately, God wants us, and it's His will, His desire. We can resist it, but God wants us to have eternal life. That's God's will. That's what God desires for you, not what He wants from you. Doing God's will then, listen, because that's the name of my title, doing your will. It's not just about things we know, but there's some doing involved. I'm going to make it easy for you today. You got to open your life to God. You can't remain closed anymore. You can't restrict access anymore. You can't say to God anymore, God, this is my part. This is my life. This is what I will control. I will give you this, and that will have to do. No. Doing God's will means that we open ourselves up full access to God. Now, that kind of openness, listen, it ain't teamwork. It's not teamwork. It's not you and your best friend doing that. It's not you and your boyfriend or girlfriend doing that. It's not you and your spouse. It's not you and your grandchildren doing that. It's you. It's got to start with you. Giving God complete access to you. So start there. Doing God's will starts with us giving God full access to us. Opening ourselves up to Him. Sometimes we close ourselves off, or we don't really know anything about God, so we're kind of, there's an ignorance about us. We just don't know anything about God to desire Him or His will, so we don't really open ourselves up to Him until things get really desperate, and we get ourselves into a kind of, you know, the worst kinds of situations, and we have nobody else to cry out to except God. Well, He's still listening then, and He wants to work then. But that's not the only time and place God wants access to your life. He wants access to you now, this moment, to work fully in you. Do His will now, that way. Open your heart fully to Him now, in this moment. And let Him know that He can come and work in you and work out His will in you now, this moment. Don't put it off till tonight. Don't put it off till Wednesday night or next Sunday. Now, this moment. Open yourself up, full access, Lord, right now, to me. Today, though you've heard about what God wants for you and for me, you've heard about it. Doing your will, God, for our lives means we're giving you access to us. It means we're opening the door of our hearts for you to come in and begin a work, to begin a work. And for some of us, it is, Lord, come in and finish this work I'm ready for you to finish it. The better way, God, is what your will is for me. And God, doing your will always be the better way. Amen. Let's pray. God, today, we do just that. We open ourselves to you now for full access to us. You may need to come and kneel at the altar and pray and seek God in this way. What is God's will for you, not from you? And so you respond to God as you have need. I'm here at the front always in case you need to share something or you need prayer or you need an encouraging word. Perhaps it's remaining right where you are to contemplate and meditate on what the Lord is saying to you, what His will is for you. Let us respond to Him today. Lord, let us respond to you today. Today is the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing our closing song.